Well, the Republican National Convention is in full swing in Milwaukee. And last night, the man Donald Trump picked as his running mate took to the stage. Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, has been telling me more about vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance.
He introduced himself in the way that many of the speakers have been appearing at this convention this week, of being loyal subjects to King Donald, who was sitting up in the gallery looking down approvingly and listening to the message and nodding along, occasionally applauding to him. He, of course, was doing like all the rest of them, praising Donald Trump as the best president they've ever had, saying he left the best economy ever to Joe Biden, who went and ruined it. Well, wasn't exactly like that, really. Nevertheless, it was a good speech that he gave tonight. It was an interesting weaving of his own personal story, that idea that he introduces himself to the nation and to the wider party. But he was also weaving in some pretty hardball messaging about the direction that the Republican Party is going in and which he would like to push it even further along in, summed up by the phrase, "We're done with propping up Wall Street at the expense of the American worker." So there were some fairly radical things in there, also on defence as well, and foreign policy in general, and pretty critical of the Chinese Communist Party. Another strong line in there about we're not going to allow the Chinese Communist Party to build up their middle class on the backs of American workers. And of course, the crowd were loving every moment of it.
And that message, of course, from the author of Hillbilly Elegy, that he knows in America that the elites have failed.
Yes, exactly. I mean, failed on things like drugs, talking about the amount of people that he was in school with that have died of overdoses out in these depressed parts of Rust Belt America.
Joe Biden screwed up, and my community paid the price. Things did not work out well for a lot of kids I grew up with. Every now and then, I will get a call from a relative back home who asks, "Did you know so-and-so?" And I'll remember a face from years ago, and then I'll hear they died of an overdose. As always, America's ruling class wrote the checks. Communities like mine paid the price.
And that message again from Republicans to the White House, that you failed middle America, real America. We saw that being pressed home again, didn't we, with Gold Star families making an appearance last night.
Yeah, and that was the real emotional high point, I thought, of the whole, not just of the night, but of the week so far. This 13 families, the families of 13 American Marines who were killed in a bomb attack at one of the gates to Kabul airport. If we think back to those chaotic scenes in September 2021 during the US withdrawal, the final withdrawal from Afghanistan, and that incredible scenes at Kabul airport, that was the turning point really for the Biden presidency. He's never recovered in the opinion polls since then. But these 13 families felt very badly let down when they met at an airbase in Delaware to collect the remains of their loved ones who'd been repatriated from Afghanistan. Biden was there to meet them, but they said he felt distant from them. He didn't remember the names of all of the people who had died, and they didn't feel any sense of engagement or empathy with him, and that he never publicly named the 13 Marines who had died in that bomb attack. And so the parents of one young man who was killed there said, "We're going to read those names," and proceeded to read out the 13 names. The crowd then started chanting those names back out loud again. And that was an act of both solidarity to them and anger and rage at Joe Biden. And it was a very, very powerful moment, I have to say.
Kareem Nakui. Dagan Page. And my son, Hunter Lopez.
And a bad week for Joe Biden, for President Biden, Sean, is getting even worse, isn't it? He's down with COVID, and the message he's getting from Democratic leaders like Nancy Pelosi behind the scenes, not alone that he's not going to win and he can't win, that he could cost Democrats the House.
Yeah, this is one of the things that we've been mentioning in the reporting on this, that it's not just a presidential election in November, it's a general election. A lot of House and Senate members up for election, all the House members, and lots of other people at state level. And Pelosi is now being reported as having told the president last Saturday that the polls indicate that there is no way for him to win. Now, if you remember, his defence has been, yes, there is a way for me to win, and I know the polls that I'm seeing, and I don't believe in the other polls. They're not accurate, but I know I can win. But the attacks are mounting on him, both internally and externally. His defence was to go out around the country, do more interviews, do a lot more meetings and events. But of course, that's been scuppered now because he has come down with COVID. And we've seen television pictures of him both getting onto the plane over in Nevada and then arriving back here just a short time ago at Delaware to spend the weekend or longer, perhaps recovering from this dose of COVID, but looking really unwell, really frail, going up the steps of the plane, then coming back down and seemingly having to be helped into the SUV that was going to bring him to his beach house at Rehoboth to try and cover. So it's a dreadful time for Joe Biden. It doesn't rain, but it pours. And the contrast in styles of this unwell man coming down the steps of the airplane and then the pumped up scenes from the Republican Party, it really does look like chalk and cheese in terms of the political debate, political presentation of the two parties to the American public.
Indeed, quite the contrast between the two campaigns this week. That was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan.